We should probably open in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here together today. We thank you that you are the inspiration, that you lead us and guide us and get our butts out of bed and to church. We thank you, Lord, that there's a message here, and Lord, I give it to you. You are the one who's in charge. Help me deliver the message you want all of us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we're working our way through the book, Love is a Way of Life, we're all the way to chapter 7, which is generosity. The subtitle to that is Giving Yourself to Others. It opens with a quote. I don't usually grab those, but this one was really interesting. Pope John Paul II said, "Love, in a word, is the gift of self." Love is the gift of self. This one's easy because you rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 5. Number one, one of my favorite things, well, I don't know if you want to write this down, just so you, because we'll be adding up the numbers at the end. So number one, one of my favorite things to do with my family is spend time with them. 1 is no, 5 is absolutely. Number your answer accordingly. Number two, I am intentional about using my abilities to help others. Number three, when I talk with someone, I focus my full attention on them. Number four, I enjoy giving away money because I believe it helps others know they are valuable. And number five, when one of my possessions is lost, broken, or stolen, it doesn't take me long to let go of it emotionally. 5 questions with a potential 5 points for each. Add them up. So if your totals are between 20 and 25, you are probably alert to ways you can love others through different kinds of generosity. If your number is lower than 20, consider whether you struggle most to give away time, ability, or money. It's just kind of a double check to see where we are and how we fit in this generosity piece of the puzzle and why we're learning about it. Because I think we can all use reminders. So I thought I would start with some Old Testament wisdom. In Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, it says, "When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with the grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines, and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God." So way back at the beginning of the Bible, God's telling us, leave some stuff behind. There's other people coming along that can use some help. Not everybody is as wealthy. How are they going to eat if they don't have money? Well, if they walk through his field and he's obeyed this rule, then they'll be able to pick up some grain and some grapes and they won't be hungry. It's just a way of like constant provision. In Proverbs 11:24, we hear, "Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." I like this one particularly because of the refreshing. The giving part has become easier, although I didn't get 20 to 25 on my quiz. And it's a work in progress, like I think all of us, we're all a work in progress. But when we spend time with people, when we refresh people, whether it's through money or ability or time, we energize ourselves. I know that those times when we're able to do, when Kay and I are able to do something for someone that's struggling, they're appreciative, but we feel extra blessed because we can. We have the ability. So like the opening quote said, the best thing we can give is the gift of ourselves. When we generously give our whole selves, we show others how much we value them. JD just talked about spending time with her mom and doing chores, checking off that list of honeydews, all those things that need to be done. Even though she lives an hour away and everybody else is closer, she feels that I have to go, I have to help. And the kids are the same way. It's a family thing. You take care of your family. Once a month, we try to go see my grandma. She'll be 95 this year in a couple months. There's a lot of things she can't do for herself. So what do? We pack up. We make the two-hour drive. It's 2 hours. It's not two states. It's 2 hours. But can I tell you how hard those 2 hours are sometimes? I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to get out of bed on a Saturday morning. I don't want to have to take extra blankets because Kay has an allergy. And it's not a bad thing. None of this is bad. It's easy to pack it. I just don't want to. And yet, we go. And when we're there, a lot of the outside stuff falls away and the focus centers in on the grandma. Sometimes we don't turn the TV on. Sometimes I put my phone down in the other room and leave it there. It's great. Until grandma has a question and then I have to go find the answer. Either that or I've seen a picture of the great-grandkids she hasn't seen, so I show her on my phone. But that's how I give to my grandma. We take her things she needs. We take a case of water. We take groceries because we eat differently than we used to. We take her things that she likes because we know she likes them. And what else can you do at 94? You may as well eat something that tastes good. So we give ourselves to grandma. Generosity involves empathy, compassion, transparency, and the ability to listen. Boy, that grandma has some stories, and they're the same ones over and over and over. And anyone who's within hearing distance gets full attention. Let me tell you something. And she's off. You have no idea who these people are. You have no idea when this story happened. You have no idea where the story happened. But she has a story to tell. And as different as it is to go to Price and not have Kay's mom there anymore, it's fantastic for me because we tag team the listening. If grandma's focused on Kay, I can get up and go in the other room and do something else. I can start dinner. I can take a nap. I can do something, and vice versa. When I'm back in the room, Kay gets up and she can go do something else. Listening. The book's definition of generosity is giving your attention, time, abilities, money, and compassion freely to others. It's hard, but I give grandma my attention. We take the time to go. As far as abilities go, we cook, we clean, I do small honeydews around the house, whatever I think might make things easier. I don't give her money, but I take things to her in compassion. Oh, I take money from her when she says, how much do I owe you for the shopping trip? But I always round down. We spend 70, I tell her 50. So it's all good because we're there. We're in her house, eating her food, drinking her water. So it all works out. In the giving of time, today's culture has time as one of the most important things we can offer someone. The time you give is a powerful expression of love. And that comes back to the grandma. And I have my note for my brother. My brother moved 30 minutes away from Price. So he's not in Price anymore. He's in Castledale. And he goes to see grandma and my aunt and uncle across the street. He keeps those relationships alive and open by taking the time to go and taking the kids to visit. When we were there last weekend, we went outside because there was a full moon, so we went outside to look at the moon and the stars, which are really amazing at Grandma's house. I'm getting nods from Isabella here because she's seen it. Great big bright full moon. The moon was so bright we could hardly see the stars. And we were walking back in the house and I was like, what is that noise? And there's big blaring speakers. Well, something's going on at the fairgrounds and the sound travels, I don't know, 3-4 miles. get ready for bed. My brother calls at 9:30. Are you still up? Well, I was going to read my book, but yeah, I can be up. We're at the Monster Truck Show. We're going to stop by because my nephew wanted to show Grandma his new shirt. Isn't that just like a little kid? I want to show Grandma Sally my new shirt. So by all means, 9:30 at night, let's go visiting. I think I got to bed around 11, which is fine. It was fun. The kids were great. They were hyper. My niece was flying around on a broom, and my brother said, you have that backwards, his little plastic with plastic shiny stuff coming out of the end. And it was in the front. It was the fastest broom I've seen in a long time. Zoom, zoom, zoom. And my brother said, you know that's backwards. She's like, I know. I want to see it. You have shiny sparkles. Why wouldn't you want to see it? Of course. It was really funny. She was really adorable. To love people is to be willing to give your time to get to know them. I think this last 6 months, we've spent more time at Grandma's, and my brother's been around more. And the kids, the twins, are more excited to see us. Luke said, well, Aunt Karina and Kay are at Grandma's house. And little Luke says, do you think they have their cooler with carrots? Last month when we had the whole big family come out from Oregon, we took a cooler full of vegetables because we had them. And there was a baggie full of cut carrots, and they were his favorite. Do you think they're going to have carrots? That's what he associates with us. I guess it's better than candy. Funny, though. As you spend time with people, you discover their needs and their desires. Only then are you able to express love in other ways. Until you take time to know someone, you are not likely to help them. Mr. Carrot, we know it's something he likes. We know they like carrots, they like cucumbers. Of course, they like candy and all those things. So we try to take something a little different and special for the kids, just because. And then, of course, the baby was asleep the whole time, so we got to look at him in his carrier. I was hoping my brother would come back the next day, but he didn't. And I can't really blame him because the gas to and from. But the way we get to know people is we ask questions. And when I read that, the first thing I thought of was a conference week we went to. It was called Ministry Training School we went to in 2007. And it's this whole big group of people. We go to California. We lived in the dorms for a week and learned more about God. And we were off to lunch in the cafeteria one day, and this woman walks up to us and says, I don't know you. Can we have lunch together? So we went walking to the cafeteria, and she said, I'm going to ask questions, and I want you to answer for each other. Obviously, you're a couple, so answer for each other. And we spent the next hour playing answer the questions. To this day, every time we see this woman, bear hugs all around. It's fun and amazing, and that one spark of, I don't know you, can we spend some time, question after question after question, which opened the door to just regular conversation. It was amazing. I don't have that outgoing personality. We can ask people about themselves, right? When you don't know how to show love to someone, ask them about themselves. What's your favorite music? What's your favorite food? Favorite color? It's an easy opening. I don't know why we shy away from them. When we cultivate a generous spirit, we become more aware of investing time in the most important thing, which may not be the thing that appears to be the most urgent, right? Because I have to do this, and I have to do this right now. I don't have time to pay attention to you, Grandma. I have to do this. Is that really the most important thing? Can dinner wait half an hour or an hour? Can Kay make dinner so I can pay attention to my grandma? Absolutely. The most important thing doesn't have to be what I think it is right now. True generosity requires sacrifice. But I don't want to sit down and talk again. I don't want to listen to this story again. Suck it up, kid. That's what you get to do. That's what happens. It's part of being a grown-up. We all have the same amount of time in a day. If we have hearts set on giving, we'll be looking for opportunities where we can give the gift of time. A couple weeks ago, we got invited to a soccer game. It was after work. It was in Park City. Is there anything else we have going on this week? You know, we need to go. We need to go support our family, put the time in. And hey, we're going to Park City. Let's go shopping. Hey. If you're going to do it, you may as well make it a fun day, do more than one thing. Like that, what are they, the carpooling where you plan your trips and you do everything while you're out before you go home? Yeah, that's pretty much what we did. The gift of time is a powerful expression of love, one for which there are many would-be recipients. We know that our kids appreciate the time. We may not get as much as we want. We may not see them as often as we'd like, but they know we're here. And when we have time together, there's all kinds of cuddles and snuggles and just time, conversations. It's a good thing. Proverbs 21:26 says, "Some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give." Sometimes I would say, I don't know that I'm godly, but sometimes I really do love to give. Another thing we have to give besides time is our abilities. All of us have abilities to do something, and these abilities can be used as an expression of love. Has anyone noticed the new bombardment on Facebook lately? All the advertising, the videos. There's ability right here. We talked to our missionary in Australia, and she's like, oh, I've noticed all that stuff you have, all the advertising going on for your church page. It looks great. Good job. I was like, well, that's Richard. She's like, well, tell him he's doing a great job. Okay. Abilities, talents and abilities. We all have something we can share. Whatever your job is today, it can become an expression of love. We're not limited. We don't have to be limited. We limit ourselves, I think. My everyday, I want to say 9 to 5, but I don't work 9 to 5. My everyday job, I don't think that's anything special. But that doesn't mean I can't share when I'm there. And it doesn't mean I can't use those abilities to share when I'm here. Ask Pastor about the computer. I learn a lot of stuff at work that I can bring to church. And I learn a lot of stuff by accident, but I can still bring it and share it. If you want to be generous with your abilities, you must believe that you play an important role in this world. I think that's really hard. To realize that nobody's gifted the way you're gifted. Nobody has exactly what you have. You play an important role in the world. No one else can take your place. Your abilities are needed. As you use your abilities to express love, not only are you becoming a loving person, but you're also helping make love a way of life for others. Sharing and sharing and sharing. Time, ability. Now money. I don't know that I like this section very much. The giving of money. Just like everything we own or enjoy, money is a gift to us in the first place. Right? Nobody goes around saying, here, let me provide for you for the rest of your life. The joy we get from giving it away is one of its many benefits. And I think that's something we learn in time. How much should we give? How much money we have is not as important as our attitude toward money and our attitude toward relationships. It doesn't matter how much we give, as long as we give with a generous spirit. I know that this young lady right here, if there's money in her pocket, it kind of stings on her backside. It doesn't quite burn a hole, but there's that, oh, what can I do? And it's really funny because, well, I don't know if it's funny, but her first thought is to bless someone else. I want to take my friends out to dinner. Come on, Mom, let's have a date. It's not what can I buy and what can I have and what do I want. It's let's share. And I love that heart. Like the more you give, the more true wealth you have because you're investing in and fostering relationships and giving time along with that money. Luke 6:38 tells us, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. I'm still waiting to see this lap full of money. I don't know that I will because the blessings may not come as money. But it's still nice to picture. Come on, shake it up. Yeah, that. God even invites us to challenge him with our giving. And we've heard time and time and time again in worship through giving. Malachi 3:10. I liked the New Living Translation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Isn't that exciting? How many times does God say, go ahead, test me, come on. Let's see if you can outgive me. Bring it on. And the best part, I think, is that it's not just about money. I mean, that's not all we're invited to give. In this case, I mean, you're bringing food to the temple. Some of it's food, some of it's money, some of it's, I mean, I would imagine some of it would be time and talent. Any amount of money has the potential to do more harm in our lives than good if it comes between us and other people instead of helping relationships grow. If I loan Pastor $100 and he's not going to pay it back, am I going to get bitter about it? Not now. 10 years ago, I may have. 20 years ago, I would have. It would have been a big roadblock in the relationship. I'm really glad that that's not the case anymore. When we give it away, we remember the importance of other people in our lives. When we keep it to ourselves, we may have an easier material experience, but we will suffer from a narrowness of spirit. Sometimes I don't feel like I have a lot of spiritual growth. But examples like that, the money, and money's tangible, I work for that. I go put my time in front of a computer. It's nice. It's really nice to be at a place where, all right, you need this more than I need it. We get bonuses for Christmas occasionally. Well, most years we get an envelope with cash in it. And I look at that envelope and I think, oh, I could do, what do I want? What can I do with this? And inevitably, I think, well, I didn't have it before, and I wasn't counting on it now, so I guess I don't need it. And last year, I divided it between two people. Like, well, here, you need it, and I don't. It gets easier. Winston Churchill once said, "We make a living by what we earn. We make a life by what we give." Only when we give away a portion of our money and possessions will we be aware of how much we have left. This is one of the many paradoxes of living a life of authentic love. Just like that Christmas bonus, I didn't have it before, I wasn't counting on it. My bills are paid. We have what we need. Do I really have to hoard that money? Not anymore. As we learn the art of giving, we find we have more than we ever realized. I know that by giving away what I didn't need, could have used, but didn't need, I was able to bless others who had a real need. And I think it strengthened some relationships. Then we have the simple joy of giving. We are generous because we care about relationships. Would you rather give to someone you know or give to someone on the street? It might depend on the situation, but 9 times out of 10, I would rather give to someone I know because I know there's a need. I know there's something going on. I know that Ginger needs help setting up her printer. So yeah, okay, we'll go visit. It's been a long time ago. And that's not money. That's time and ability. Because we care about relationships. When we care about people, we're willing to step out and do things. In Acts 20, 33 through 35, Paul said, "I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." So Paul, out there on all his missionary journeys, he wasn't saying, okay, give me money. Give me money and I'll preach to you. He was out there working. And I would imagine that while he was working, he was having conversations one at a time with individual people making an impact. A spirit of generosity can bring healing to more people than we can imagine, one relationship at a time. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tell us, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. We can add honesty and generosity and humility, and it all falls in the same category. This isn't a complete list. It's a starting place. When we're generous with God's fruit, it multiplies. And my note here says, think of water ripples. So if we go back to Paul working as a tent maker, Paul's out there working, making tents, and he has a conversation with Richard, and Richard gets all excited about this good news, and then he goes home and he tells Barry, and then Barry gets excited, and it's ripples in water. One relationship at a time, one encounter at a time, that's all it takes. Why do we shy away from those? Jesus himself said in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. So there's more than good news. There's more than time. There's more than money. Jesus gave us the ability to do all of this stuff. Why don't we do it? I just finished reading a book about a little boy who learned how to walk in the kingdom of God. He would spend good quality time with God and he could perform miracles. Well, it wasn't the boy performing the miracles. It was God using him, flowing through him. And the people around him were like, nope, nope, it's a trick. It's not true. It's just a scam. Eventually, they couldn't deny the power, and some came to have a relationship with Jesus. And the other two main characters got to walk in the kingdom with the boy. And they had this spectacular encounter, and there was color everywhere. And when they praised God, the colors would come out and just fly across the sky, zipping up to heaven like backwards lightning. And then when they prayed, the prayer shot out and they could see him because their eyes had been opened. Why don't we live like that? Why don't we do that all the time? Why don't we realize what an impact we can have? We're tired. We're lazy. There's a TV. There's a phone. I don't know. I'm in the boat with everybody else. I don't do it, but we can. The Bible says we can. Generosity does not need to be a burden in any of our relationships. While it can require sacrifice, as all love does, the rewards of improved relationships bring an energy and enthusiasm that nothing can replace. I wouldn't trade my relationship with my grandma for anything. Nope, sorry, I gotta go see my grandma. Grandma's more important than work. No, it's grandma's birthday. I gotta take a day off. Those are the things we do. It's Christmas. We're going the weekend before, the weekend after. Gotta go spend time with grandma. And she treasures that. When all my family came to visit, she was surprised by the whole big giant clan. And then she came over to me and got under my arm, and she does this thing where she pats me. I'm like, why are you jiggling my belly? But she did the jiggle pat. And then she said, I depend on you too much. And I said, I don't think so. Because it was a surprise. We knew the family was coming, so we brought 4 cases of water and we brought extra food and the cooler full of vegetables. We knew there were going to be extra people. That's why we did it. I don't think that's depending on me. There are the ways we take care of our own. And of course, like all of the other topics in the book, there is a competitor to generosity. And this one is our own agenda. When we get wrapped up in our own plans for the day, we can overlook what those around us truly need, and we can miss the opportunity to serve them. I do this a lot. I get focused and single-minded, and I forget to look at what's around me. We need to slow down for the sake of loving relationships. How can we know what people need, much less help with those needs, if we are distracted by our own agendas all the time? It's a simple question. What can I do for you? And then we need to really listen to the answer. Matthew 6:1-4 says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have all received the reward they will ever get. That part reminded me of Facebook. How many times do you have these people doing these good deeds? Here, record me. Here, there's a homeless person. I'm going to go give them something. I think the videos are good and bad. It's good that people are giving and that they want to give. But what's the real motive behind it if they're recording it and saying, look at me, look at me, look at what I'm doing. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Otherwise, we chance running into that prideful thing where that whole Facebook video, look at me, look at me. So the intent behind it, I think, is huge. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I don't know how many times pastors stood here and said, we don't want your money. If you feel like you have to hold on to that money and it's hard to let go of it, don't give it. We don't want it. You keep it and do what you need to do because it's the heart behind it, and we want the cheerful givers. We want from those who want to be blessed. And it's not just about money, time, ability, talent, all that fun stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there, isn't there? Barry said, oh, there were so many stories. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not using any of them. I didn't look at them because there's too much, and there's no way we would be sitting here for another hour, and I didn't want to put you all through that. The chairs aren't comfortable after a while. But in your bulletin, you do have a page that says, what would your relationships be like if you held your possessions in open hands, ready to release them when they were needed? That one's kind of funny to me because I have a couple of shirts. Pastor said, oh, I really like that shirt. And I said, okay, you can have it when you fit in it. That gives him incentive. And it gives me the opportunity to share. It's a win-win. I have another one. I have a camping shirt that I just got a couple months ago, and I really, really like it. It has lots of pockets, and it's comfortable, and it's a light yellow, which is an odd color for me, but it's a great shirt. Got it on sale at a great price, and somebody else came into our house and said, oh, I like that shirt. I said, okay, when you fit in it, you can have it. I don't know. It's kind of a big deal because that's mine and I like it. But I have to be willing to let go of things in order to get something better. So. What happens if you come in and your shirt's gone one day? Well, then it's gone and I'll wear a different one. It's okay, I have clothes. What would your relationships be like if you gave 10% of your income to others? If you took time daily to show an acquaintance, a friend, a child, or a spouse that you were interested in their well-being? If you used your abilities to benefit others in creative ways? I know that's happening on our church Facebook page. And what would it be like if you found joy in having a generous spirit toward others, no matter the circumstances? That one's tough. Can't be in a good mood all the time. But can we enjoy the journey? Can we enjoy being generous and sharing? And sometimes I do feel like I'm fighting. I don't want to. Well, I kind of did that yesterday. I didn't want to leave my house. I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to go drive Pastor around. I don't want to fix the TV. I told Kay, why is it so hard to leave the house on Saturday? And she said, because that's the only day you get to stay home. I go, well, okay. And there's a new TV. I left the house. Not once, but twice. I had to go home to get parts to come back so we could get it to mount. It all got done. But it's only the initial get out of the house that's hard for me. Once I'm out of the house, it's okay. It's just that motivation to go, just like going to prize. And I want to get up on a Saturday morning. I want to sleep in. Making it personal. And these are food for thought. And again, they're in your bulletin, so you can think of them at your leisure. What was a time you experienced the joy of giving? As you analyze your patterns of giving over the past few years, how would you describe your attitude toward giving? Selfish, inconsistent, moderate, generous? How satisfied are you with this pattern? What is most likely to keep you from giving money to someone, from giving time, or from giving your abilities? It's a lot to think about. And then there's an application section. I like these because this is the homework part, and this is where you get to use what we've talked about. Number one, make a list of some of the big gifts you've received in your life. These might include education, loving parents, intelligence, a job opportunity. Giving begins by accepting the reality. All that I am and possess is a gift. Number two, are there people in your family or circle of friends with whom you desire to spend more time? If so, what can you do to begin to make it happen? Number three, what is one thing you could do right now to become more sensitive to the opportunities you have daily to give people your undivided attention? Number four, are you presently giving 1/10 of your income to a cause that helps people in need? If not, do you see this as a goal you would like to attain? Why or why not? Number five, make a list of gifts of money you have made over the past month. Are there other individuals, churches, community groups, or projects that you would like to add to your list next month? Number six, make a list of some of the abilities you think you possess. How have you used your abilities to help others in the past? What steps could you take to use your abilities to a greater degree? In what ways can you use your abilities to express love to others? It's a lot of writing if you make the lists. But I think it would be most effective if you did, because then you would see it concretely, whether it's on the computer or on a paper. Making a list is a good thing. So this is the part where we take a minute to think about what we're supposed to get out of the message. Loving God, we thank you for the time we've had to spend together. We thank you for the reminder that generosity is not just about money, that it's time and ability and love. Thank you for the reminder, Lord, that you give to us all the time. Freely I have given, give to others. Lord, that's hard for us. Help us remember that you've gifted us so that we can share with others, so that we can grow those relationships, so that we can be the pebble that ripples out into the water and causes true change. We thank you, Lord, that we get to do this each and every day because we live in the world. Help us remember to give your love to those who need it. And everyone needs it. In Jesus' name. Amen.